On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So here's the key question. To what extent has the pandemic disrupted a defendant's right to a speedy trial in Wisconsin? We're examining what these times have brought to representing some of the most disadvantaged people in our court system. What questions do you have for Wisconsin State Public Defender? What do you want to know about how the Public Defender's Office handles caseloads, especially now? 800-642-1234. Kelly Thompson is Wisconsin State Public Defender. Kelly, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, last year, the pandemic delayed some criminal cases from being resolved. What is the status of our state's court system now?
Well, Kate, as you can imagine, as the pandemic has continued and the significant impact it's had on the entire state in every area, it's had that much of an impact. System. As you and I talked about before, and as we've heard, constitutional rights, due process, they don't take a break for a pandemic. They don't say, hey, something's going on. We can't fulfill our obligations. Those obligations are always there. And our attorneys and our staff are, that's their job. That is what they have to focus most on. So a pandemic hits, we have to consider how to do our jobs, how to be as creative as possible, but how to be able to continue to represent exactly what you said, those most disadvantaged, those most marginalized in our system, and sometimes some of the most difficult cases. So the pandemic hits, we continue to try and do our job. We use things that everybody's using. Technology becomes a bigger part of our lives. And as you can imagine, the public defender's budget, we were not prepared for that, but we did everything that we could to get ready so that we could continue to visit with clients, to see families, and to continue those court hearings that need to continue. Make sure that our clients have their day in court, they have their rights being respected, that things can move forward, but in unusual ways. And because our staff from the get-go were considered essential workers and are considered essential workers, their jobs never stop. So while we can employ technology, we still have to be able to see our clients in person. We have to be able to work through all of the information, and it's called discovery, all of the evidence in a case. And most importantly, we have to be there to communicate with them. That communication part is so incredibly critical and important in the work that we do.
So what is the status of the backlog? What do the numbers look like?
I can't give you numbers. I can tell you significant. So early on, certainly the case filings were down. You know, everyone's trying to figure out how to get people out of custody if possible. People weren't able to charge cases as much. And quite frankly, I think, you know, people were homebound more. So cases weren't quite as prevalent. You know, law enforcement was trying to do everything they can to keep people safe. But certainly case filings were down, but we've seen the impact of that. We have a backlog of thousands of cases. I mean, thousands. And we have cases now, we had that kind of short term where cases were down, the filings were down. But now in some counties, they're still down. In some counties, we tend to target, per year. And at this time last year, we have case filings that are actually up more than they were a year ago. So that backlog, and that backlog is significant because what you have is we have our cases continuing, and then we know we have this backlog sitting there, and the courts as a whole, and luckily in our criminal justice system in Wisconsin, and it's definitely at the county level, people tend to work pretty well together. So you have the judges and the public defenders and the DAs and clerks all trying to figure out, law enforcement, how we're going to start getting these cases through. But it's going to take years. Okay? Mm. It'll take years to get through the backlog of cases that people have.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Kelly Thompson, Wisconsin State Public Defender. We're discussing the status of public defenders, the caseload, and the work of people who are assigned to defend people who cannot afford a lawyer, legal representation in our criminal justice system. What do you want to know about how the Public Defender's Office is handling these times? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Lisa now in Madison. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi. Even prior to the pandemic, the mentally ill languished in jail. I have a mentally ill brother. course, he can't afford a public defender. He can't afford a defender and he'd have to wait to be assigned one. He would languish sometimes. He was in jail 6 months or more just waiting for a trial. And so I'm wondering, they're one of the most vulnerable. What is going to be happening going forward? So those people are potentially sitting in jail for years. I mean, he didn't see the light of day for 6 months or more at point prior to the pandemic.
Lisa, you hit it on the head. One of our most significant issues in the criminal justice system is the number of mentally ill people or people with mental health issues, some diagnosed, some undiagnosed, that get involved in our criminal justice system, sometimes just because of their mental health issues that go untreated. And so we see that impact every single day. The number of, you know, the percentages are hard to actually quantify. You know, sometimes we hear up to 70 or 80% of the individuals in our prison system have mental health issues. Again, some diagnosed and some undiagnosed. And that impact really does prey upon individuals. And we do. I would love to say, you know, your case is an anomaly. That is not the case. We have people with pretty significant mental health issues that are sitting in our jails and in our prisons for months and for years. If you have just, we have people right today that are having, now jury trials are going on around the state, not in all counties, but in a lot of the counties. But we've had people that have been sitting over a year, over 2 years, just waiting to have their trial. These people are sitting incarcerated and they are presumed innocent. Now take one of those individuals who has mental health issues and sometimes significant mental health issues. And as Lisa, I think, has identified, sometimes those mental health issues are the reason that they're there. And the jails are not hospitals. They're not mental health hospitals. You know, our law enforcement officers and workers, oftentimes, you know, they almost have to double as, you know, mental health. Some of them have some crisis support training, but they're not trained for that. And our jails are not equipped for those. And yet our prison system is, quite frankly, our largest mental health hospital in the state. It's also the most expensive and less effective way to treat our individuals with mental health issues. And yet that's what's happening. So now you have a pandemic, you have all the other cases going on, and then you have the families of these individuals who are sitting in custody just trying to figure out how to get them out. And because of these backlogs and because of the delays that, again, everyone's trying to work on. This isn't a system that's like, oh, well, we're not worried about that. That's not the case. I mean, the Chief Justice, the Supreme Court came out really pretty early on with guidance to what counties can do. And then they've had these task force working to make sure that people have in place so that the courts can get back running, so that people can get back into court safely, obviously safely, with the, you know, social distancing and all that. But so many of our individuals are sitting in the jails. And I'll take it one step further. You have individuals who are sitting in custody. Now we have people that have cases that they are likely looking at a jail term. And how do we look at, as public defenders, look at those individuals and say, you know, I know you, you know, we need to get your cases finished, but you have you know, you may likely go sit in a jail cell for 3 or 4 months. And by the way, we have a pandemic going on. We have the coronavirus. I mean, people are left with such terrible choices and such difficult choices. And so those cases are languishing. And people, some of those people are out of custody with that burden hanging over those, knowing that you know, they have this this case that needs to be resolved. And then we have the people that are sitting in custody. We have so many people sitting in custody. So what Lisa said is, it's constantly working. It's constantly trying to figure out to bring attention to those cases. It's, you know, public defenders are there every single day. Their Kelly, workload has not gone away. Yes.
Kelly, I want to just jump in here on the issue of mental health of your clients. Do you see clients who suffer from serious mental health illness, but the illness doesn't rise to the level of a legal defense like insanity?
Oh, yes. That's most of the cases. Most of our cases don't, you know, we have some that'll rise to the level of a defense of insanity. We have certainly mitigating factors where we can bring before a judge, you know, when resolving a case, saying this individual, you know, we have these health records, we have family members like Lisa that will come in and explain what's going on. And those are mitigating factors. But for actually the, you know, not guilty by mental disease or defect, that defense is very rarely used. Very, very. So these individuals have these diagnoses that certainly play a part or a role in the crimes that have been committed, or the reason, sometimes not a crime, but the reason they're in the jails, but they're not, they don't rise to that level.
We're talking with Wisconsin's state public defender, Kelly Thompson, about how justice is working for the most disadvantaged people in the court system. Do you know someone in jail currently awaiting a trial? How are they doing? What are you most concerned about during this time? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Kelly Thompson here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new study from Rutgers University says public defenders in our country are under enormous psychological stress from budget cuts, from huge caseloads, and the pressures placed on the justice system by COVID. The study involved dozens of public defenders across the country to investigate occupational stress. It's called the stress of injustice. Attorneys, share what your job is like, what punitive laws and practices target and punish people who are the most disadvantaged in our system. What reforms do you seek? Join in 800-642-1234. Kelly Thompson is Wisconsin State Public Defender, and she's with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take another call now. Davio is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Davio.
Hi. Ms. Thompson, I just had a question for you. I recently got into some trouble with the law myself when I got out of high school, and it got me looking a lot into prison conditions and things like that. And my question for you is, we live in a great country, but we have a lot of problems. And to me, the conditions for inmates and guards alike in a lot of our prisons and jails seems to be kind of alarming. I was just wondering what the front for prison reform in Wisconsin looks like.
Well, Daddy, that's a great question. I agree. You know, unfortunately, in our jails and our prisons, you have what very well-intentioned people that are trying to do a lot with very limited resources. And oftentimes when we see budget cuts, those resources happen, you know, in programming and what have you in the prisons. There's no doubt about that. Jails are oftentimes, you know, old and haven't been refurbished in a long time. And so our individuals are sitting in cages, and oftentimes crowded, and the conditions certainly are, I think that's one of the most difficult stressors for families, not obviously for the individuals there, but for their families. And then you take a pandemic on top of that. So now you have people that are crowded, even with the care of the individuals that are working there, there's nothing you can do. And oftentimes when you're, you know, such limited of areas. So, you know, prison reform is an area that's a national topic that's really, I think, really heating up. First of all, are the right people? We have to start with, do we have the right people sitting in jails and prisons? I would argue no. So we have to start looking at that on the front end. There's no doubt that we have to really refocus our attention. Do we have people that are sitting there, again, as what Lisa talked about, people with mental health issues? Do we have people with alcohol and drug addictions that can be cured in other ways in the community? Once we take someone out, we have to really focus on the fact, and this would be more at the jail level, when we take someone out of their community, especially people who are already unstable in some respect, you know, economically or what have you, you take them out of the community for 24 to 48 hours, we've destabilized their lives. There's no doubt about that. Their lives were already, you know, less than stable. We've destabilized their lives. Once we destabilize one of these individuals' lives, we've destabilized their families and we've destabilized our community. So we're not making our community safer. We have to understand that. So we have to really figure out that we're the right people, you know, for the right crimes are sitting in our jails and prisons. We tend to put people in jail and in prison who are in jail pre-trial that could still be out in the communities. And that's been a big focus. And I will tell you at the county level, counties are really taking this seriously. We've had a lot of that pre-trial reform where people are looking for alternatives to get people out of custody while they're waiting for their cases to go through. Because when my clients are in custody, they're going to make decisions that aren't always in their best interest. They need to, if I'm sitting in custody waiting for my case to be heard, and now it's being delayed and delayed, and I have three children sitting at home like I do, I'm going to make a decision that's best for short term for my family to get me out, not necessarily going to trial on that case. And that's, you know, people understand that, but we really have to focus on that. And then long-term for prison reform, we have to really continue to find the programming that gets people back out on their feet. When people are released from a prison system, we should hope to never, ever see them again. And we should hope to never see them again in a good way, that we've given them the tools and the resources to be successful. And that has to be educationally. Education is, we know this is such a key part, but we really have to focus on really revamping our prisons and looking at these as educational places and at treatment facilities. We already know, I've already talked about the mental health, but already the addiction issues that lead to people being in prisons, that people have alcohol and drug addictions. We have to continue to revisit these prisons and make sure that we're providing everyone who wants an opportunity gets that opportunity. We have what, between in a normal time, and I'm quoting air quotes, normal time, 8,000 to 9,000 individuals coming out every single year. And only what, a tiny portion of them have had the programming that really is necessary. And it's because of, we haven't put that funding there. So this is a constant conversation, and it's a constant conversation that community members like yourself, Davio, have to be having with your lawmakers, because if they understand that this is a priority for the communities, this makes our communities safer. These individuals go back and they become part of, you know, a productive community. We will see some of the benefits that nationally other states are seeing as well.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Kelly Thompson, Wisconsin State Public Defender. We're discussing legal defense amid the pandemic for people who can't afford a lawyer. Taking your questions as well, 800-642-1234. Kelly, I want to look at the shortage of public defenders. Prior to the pandemic, there was a shortage in some areas, especially like Racine County. What is retention like for state public defenders currently?
Oh, such a good question, Kate. And it's really been difficult. And it's been so difficult during a pandemic. So, you know, let's do real quickly. So we had staffing public defenders where retention has been difficult. And that's, you know, was a good thing because the economy was good. It was terrible for me, but the economy was good. And our public defenders were being asked to do other positions for more money. And I didn't have the capability to pay them, which really, really impacts our criminal justice system, because when we lose individuals, those cases get delayed. I have to try and find other people to take on those cases. And we're not talking about a few cases. We're talking each public defender handles hundreds of cases. So that was, and then we had the private bar. Luckily, the rate was raised. And so all of a sudden, we had private bar attorneys that were willing to take some of those cases, which was wonderful. But then we have the pandemic hit. I have to tell my staff from day one, I understand you have your own health concerns, you have your own health issues, you have your families, but I'm asking you to put your own health aside and continue to represent individuals. And our staff stepped up absolutely from day one across the state. But that pandemic has hit hard, and we have a pay disparity now with prosecutors that we've never had. This happened in the last budget. So my public defenders are being paid less than their counterparts across the aisle, and they are doing more work than they've ever had to do before in the most difficult situations, in the most difficult circumstances. And we've lost throughout this pandemic. Our numbers are, I would say, alarming, the number of people that we've lost throughout the last, 8 to 9 months. And that has impacted the state, because that slows down the entire criminal justice system. It doesn't just impact me. It impacts, most importantly, the clients, most importantly, the community and their families. But it also impacts the entire criminal justice system, because I have to constantly be hiring to try and get individuals my job pitch is, you're not going to make a lot of money. You're going to make a big difference in individuals' lives, and you're going to work around the clock in some really difficult situations. And people step up, but that has been a big challenge. So, our public defenders are critical. They're essential. They have worked around the clock. But it is, I will say, we've been hit hard. This pandemic has hit internally in our offices. This pandemic has hit our staff really, really hard with the loss of some of our staff.
Kelly, as you look at the other side of this pandemic, in the last minute we have here, what aspects of COVID changes to court proceedings may become permanent after the pandemic?
The changes have to be, that's a great question. We've had task force looking at. So obviously technology, when you're in rural Wisconsin for things that are would consider being less important, like the status conferences, well, my clients don't have driver's licenses and they don't have vehicles to get around, using technology can be really, really helpful, but technology can't can't take the place of having that individual in a courtroom during serious and substantive hearings. They have to be there. It's so important for them to understand and be seen. I need them to be seen by the judge and by the prosecutor as real individuals. And technology, while it works really well for us and we can bring our clients in even during these really difficult periods of time, they don't have the capacity, the capability, and the financial resources for technology. So technology will be used. We can use technology in the prisons now a little bit more to have some of our client communications in our conversations. So that's been very helpful. And I know that, we have to sign off. But Kate, technology is a wonderful thing that just has to be used cautiously. And I think it will be by the criminal justice system.
Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime, I'm always welcome or willing to come in and talk to you. And I really want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate you taking time to talk about public defenders in our criminal justice system.
Kelly Thompson is Wisconsin State Public Defender. We have Representative Goyke, Evan Goyke, after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.